Well, as we've been dissecting the anatomy of God over this summer, we come to an anatomy piece that really is one of the most complex. Well, it is the most complex part of God that we've looked at to this point this summer, and that is His face. I heard at Disney, when they made the movie Shrek, they wanted to go up a level in quality for the movie industry on getting the characters to have very human expressions. And I read somewhere that the faces of the characters in Shrek, that the animators on the computer animation or however they do all that stuff, had 300 different points of reference in the face of, like, Shrek. There was 300 different points to try to mimic your face, to try to mimic the complexity of our face, whether we like it or not. Usually, we're almost powerless to this. How you are doing is written all over your face. This morning, Tom came into my office and was just greeting me and saying hey, and he just paused in the middle of our conversation because he figured I wasn't my normal, how'd you say it? You seem a little reserved, you know, and he was right, and it's because of this sermon. Sometimes, some weeks, I just go, man, I got no business getting up there. I know some weeks you feel like, boy, you got no business being up there. But it's not that there's not lots of content for the face of God, but doing it justice is another issue entirely. So it is the most complex feature of God that we've looked at so far this summer. But it also, and it helped me just take a deep breath, Tom, when I just realized this morning, it comes down to one of the simplest messages. And that is that God wants you to see it. Just picking up where Doyle kind of took us in worship after that video, the psalm that he finished with, I have sought your face with all my heart. And Doyle asked, can you say that? Can you say that? I'd be shocked if any of us in this room could really, with all of our heart, say that. The life that could say that would be so overwhelmingly different than any normal life on this planet that it would change the world. Well, it would look like Jesus. Because Jesus is the only one I know that truly could say that. And I know many of you have had seasons, relatively short periods in your life, where maybe you could say that, usually summoned by some tragic event in your life, right? It usually takes that. It takes some horrible situation that we're in. Something we don't like so much that is so outside of our control that finally, for a short time, until we get it back under control, we might can say that. But what about the other side? Is it possible to have a life that's not troubled? That is going pretty well? That we feel pretty free? That we feel pretty forgiven? That we feel saved, that things are going great, that there's no major trauma going on, things with our kids are going well, our parents are going well, our marriage is going well, everything's going well, and still then in that season be able to say this? What would that be like? And who here knows? I noticed something in this verse that's important to point out as we kind of begin, and that is, it's not with your eyes that you look to see the face of God. You notice? You don't seek God's face with your eyes. It takes something bigger, something more complex in you than your eyes. It takes your heart. If we are to see God's face, and you'll see here in a minute that He wants you to see it, you will see it with your heart. St. John of the Cross, he's the old Spanish monk that wrote the book that maybe you've heard of, Dark Night of the Soul. He says that if you get weary of every single spiritual activity, I mean, if you get tired, and he's not talking about like, I'm just sick of it or I'm tired or it's too hard. He's saying you've engaged with it fully. You've become the best at prayer. And it starts turning up empty. You've become great at meditating and contemplating Scripture, but it starts falling short. You have a practice, a spiritual practice in your life that is so disciplined, and yet it's not evoking the sacred that it used to. He says, if you get tired of all that, just get rid of all of it. And you just are not. He didn't say get rid of all of it. He says, if you need to stop all of it, just simplify it with this one simple discipline. Simply spoken discipline. That is, in quiet, seek the face of God with your heart. So I have this question that I want to ask, just to send you into a little meditation here, a little prayer time with God. I want you to answer this question. Do you want to see God's face? Think about it. I think it's a valid question. I think we all have trouble looking square in the face of each other. For some reason. For anything more than just a passing glance. Or to look up from our food while we eat lunch. Do you want to see His face? I want you to just bow your head. And I want you to consider that and answer it to God. Either yes. Yes, I do. Or no, I don't. Or I'm not sure, God. Let's just take a minute on that question. Let's bow. Consider that. God, I confess to you, I have two confessions to you, God, this morning. These are real confessions. Real time for me right now. I confess, yes, I desperately want to see your face. For all of the good that I know will come to me were I to see it. For all of the blessing that it would be to me and those around me. My second confession, God, is I think the truth of that confession is that I want to see it. Because I don't want to see it. Not if it means ruining my life the way it is now. Because I've got a handle on it. There are things about my life, even with the things I complain about to you in prayer, there are some perks associated with it that I don't want messed up. There are some personality things that I hang on to that I feel like are important to my identity that I think you would annihilate were I to be bathed in the light of your face. There are some practices that I do out there, habits that I have, entertainments that I enjoy that aren't bad but could probably be better, that I think you would alter if I saw you face to face. So I confess, I want to see your face this morning, Father. And I don't want to see your face this morning, Father. Help me. Help us, God. Win us over. Win me over to the truth that to see your face is to have life to the full. Win us, God. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. So there are some really good reasons in Scripture to answer yes to this question, for you to really fill up with a desire, to let a desire rush into your heart to see the face of God, to want to see the face of God, whatever that may mean, whatever that may call for. Scripture, let me start with David in Psalm 6. David asks the question that many are asking. He says, many are asking, who can show us any good? And then he says these famous words, let the light of your face shine upon us, O Lord. Let the light of your face. The most commonly associated word with the face of God in Scripture, when I studied it, was light. Was that it shines. That it's something that comes on you. That it consumes you. It rushes over you. And light is the word that he uses. And with that light being shown on you, come some incredible things that I think, well, I'm pretty sure all of us would like. With the light of God's face comes forgiveness, healing, joy, restoration comes from the face of God, satisfaction, peace, authority comes from the face of God. God's ways, like being able to understand and know his ways, them to being revealed to you, that comes from the face of God. Salvation comes. Intimacy comes from the face-to-face relationship with God. Friendship with God comes from the face of God. I don't have time to like unpack all of the scriptures that I gleaned this from, but a couple of my favorites. One is on the healing and the forgiveness. It's in 2 Chronicles. It's God talking to Solomon about the temple, and he makes a promise. He says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. If you will seek his face, forgiveness and healing, something we're all needing, something we're all hoping we can have. In Numbers, God is telling Moses to tell Aaron how to bless people, how to, in a priestly way, represent God and then bless the people of God. He's instructing Aaron and his sons would be the first priests, okay? And he says, this is how they are to bless them. Moses, tell them this. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Most of the people that make their way through my office, with whatever their need is, in the midst of it, they are desperate to find some stability, some peace. And God wished it on his people, called his priests to bless it on his people from the beginning. It's his desire. There's this authority thing that comes among men when you have a relationship with God's face. In Numbers 12, God is speaking to Aaron and his wife, who had made an accusation of Moses about his wife. Okay, they had an issue with Moses. God got upset at Aaron for having an issue with Moses. And he says to Aaron, with Moses I speak face to face, clearly, and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against Moses? When you have a relationship, face-to-face relationship with God, it gives you some backup that commands respect here on earth. It gives you an authority among men. And again, appealing to this relationship Moses had with God in Exodus 33, it says, the Lord would speak to Moses face-to-face as a man speaks with his friend. When God is offering you his face, he's offering you friendship with God. I mean, it's one of the most amazing themes I've discovered in my Bible study is that he wants us to move from alienated from God to becoming servants of God, never to leave that, but eventually to become friends of God. When Jesus called his disciples, it was one of the things that provoked the most worship in me when I finally read those red letters this loudly. When he said, "I no longer call you servants, I call you friends." Jesus said that to his disciples. Friendship with God. I mean, with all of this, who wouldn't say yes? I mean, who wouldn't just with a resounding, abandoned surrender to it, say yes to the question we asked earlier? Who wants to see the face of God if this is it? But there's one more PS that ends up being a really big one that we'd have to confront, that we have to be confronted with if we say yes. One more thing for the bullet point. Doesn't seem to fit with all the other bullet points that I studied in Scripture, but it's still there, loud and clear, that if you want to see the face of God, and it may surprise you that it's a pretty good biblically revealed reason to not want to see the face of God. Death. Associated with the face of God, with man seeing the face of God in Scripture, is the idea that you can't handle it, that you will die. It comes most directly in Exodus 33 when God says, but he says, "You cannot see my face." He's talking to Moses here. When Moses asked, "Let me see your glory." And he says, "You cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." Then the Lord said, "There's a place near me where you can stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I'll put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I'll remove my hand and you'll see my back, but my face must not be seen." You can't handle it. It will kill you. This was a very common Jewish understanding. Earlier in Genesis 32, when Jacob wrestled with that amazing creature there, he's wrestling with this angel of the Lord or whoever it was. He has this wrestling match, and when he finishes, he realizes it was God. And he says, so Jacob called the place Peniel. Peniel means face of God. He called the place face of God, Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." See, he was celebrating. This is a miracle. Because if you see the face of God, you're supposed to die. They understood this. In Judges, when Gideon was seeing this angel of the Lord, and he realized it was the angel of the Lord, he actually exclaims in Judges 6, "I've seen the angel of the Lord face to face," and he falls down prostrate. It's just an angel of the Lord. And yet, the Lord has to speak up and reassure him with the words, "Peace, do not be afraid, you are not going to die." See, everyone knows. Everyone knows. And I want to put forth, so do you. Yep. Deep down, so do you. That's why it's a hard question. Do you want to see the face of God? Because deep down, you know, you get into that kind of friendship with God. You get into that kind of intimacy, that kind of relationship face to face with God. You know, it'll kill you. You will have to die. And there is something powerful in us that fights against that whenever we consider it. It's happening right now in you. There is something in us, something called the flesh, the Bible calls it that, that's fighting for its life to not die. And so fighting against you and making lots of sense to dilute this message of what you can have in God's face. There's another system that's fighting against us. The Bible calls it the world. Talking about the social structures that we live within and the things we allow to permeate that just become assumptions in the way we live, whether it's materialism or a view of sex or whatever it is, a self-centeredness, take care of number one. You know, whatever it is that just comes in and permeates our systems that we don't even think, stop to question it. It's so assumed between you and me, even as followers of God, and it fights against this. Because it knows if you're going to see God face to face, that system, the world system that's so acceptable out there, will have to die. And there's another hideous power that's totally against you having that kind of life to the full, that kind of freedom, having all those things that we listed. The Bible calls him the devil, Satan. And he has an army, legions of principalities and powers, foul spirits, lying. Really, get out of the dramatic language of demons and all of that. What it comes down to is Satan is the father of lies. He lies to you. And he says, that death, let me just blow that up on the list, because that death is not desirable and you need to run from it for your very life. And he's lying. Let me assure you, the death that you will experience coming into the light of God's face is a death that you want. Painful? Yes, it can be. Costly? Yep. Costs you pretty much everything that you have now. All your attitudes, all your beliefs, all your ideas, all your justifications, all your excuses, all your worldly habits. But what he'll replace it with is with justification, with pardon, with forgiveness, with satisfaction, with joy, with intimacy, with friendship. So I ask you again this morning, do you want it? It's a paradox, I admit, that he calls us to a relationship with his face. He's calling us to die. And let me just take one little analogy from nature. The sun. Our sun. What was the old warning we got from our moms when we were kids? Don't look straight into it. Why? You'll go blind. That was the warning. It's still being used. You'll go blind. And it's true. If you let your eyes full force be open all the way to the sun, it can blind you. It's too much light. If, take it a little further, you get too close to that sun, you won't just go blind. You will die. But wait a minute, the sun, it's good, right? It's good because of it. There's growth. There's warmth, right? Because of it, there's light. Because of it, there is life. I want to just borrow on that and say that's what God's face is like. God's face is good. Because of it, there's warmth. Because of it, there's life. There's light. There's life. There's. I already said that. There's lots of life from the face of God. So it's good. But we, as we are now, sinful, fallen, cannot be exposed to him fully without completely being obliterated. But maybe to take that analogy a little bit further, when you spend extended amounts of time in the sun, what happens? You do transform, don't you? You quite naturally transform. And what your body is doing is building up a capacity. When it gets tan, it's trying to protect itself from that light so that you can be in it more and it not have the negative effects on you. And I want to just put forth, there's one way you could look directly at the sun. You could get close. There's one way you could get inside the sun and not be obliterated. That is for you to become like the sun. If you could become the fire of the sun, then you could go right into that and be consumed by it without dying. And I know my analogy breaks down here scientifically because we're not going to be transforming into the image of the sun. However, biblically, it works perfectly. When you go into the light of God's face, he makes you more like him. And it's our destiny to become more like him so that we can handle all of him, ultimately, for eternity, face to face. He wants that to happen. There's an old American Indian legend that a tribe had. This tribe had where it lived and kind of where it stationed regularly. There was a huge mountain range, and a cliff up there had a face, what looked like a face in that cliff. And this Indian tribe had kind of gotten caught up in this legend, saying one day a great warrior, savior, provider is going to come to us, and it's going to be that Indian, the Indian with that face. And so generations of this legend went on. It was just a legend, kind of trying to make a point and instill hope. There's one young Indian lad that really got intrigued by it. And he would sit for hours just looking at that face, studying that face in the cliff. Okay, even while he was working out in the fields, he would always check his shoulder. He's always thinking of that face and what it means and what it represents. And even when he was out herding buffalo, trying to learn how to, not herd them, but to hunt buffalo, he had in mind that face, and he'd always take every opportunity at the end of the day when the sun was going down, he would sit before he went to bed, and he would just dwell on that face. And as this legend goes, that little boy, as he grew up, started taking on the features of the face in that cliff. I want to suggest to you, church, and this is, I know it's complex, his face got way more than 300 points to it. But let's just take it to this. He wants you to see it. And he wants you to see it because he wants you to become like him. And he will, if you will expose yourself to the light of God's face and let it shine on you, he will give you the life of Christ. This is what he's after. In 2 Corinthians, Paul's talking about this transformation that happens when you see the Lord's face. 2 Corinthians 3, 16 through 18, he says, "But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil's taken away. Now, the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is Spirit." So let me go back to my initial question. Do you want to see the face of God? Do you want your life ruined in the most glorious, impressive, and powerful, and life-giving way that you could ever have it ruined? I want to ask our shepherds and ministers, if they would, and their spouses, just to head around the room. They're doing this just so that they can offer themselves to you relationally. In a way, as God's priests, representing God to bless you, for you to have prayers for you, that the Lord's face would turn your way, that He could bring you that peace, this transformation. I want you to feel free to go to them for whatever it is you need. And let me just tell you this. If you want to see the face of God, you need look no further than Jesus Christ. That's what His face looked like. I don't know what expression the face of God has when you think of it. Is it angry? Is it frustrated? Is it just serious and guiding? Is it Santa Claus just waiting to dole out presents? I don't know what His face looks like to you. I'm pretty sure if you want an accurate picture of the face of God, all you got to do is look at Christ. I picture it smiling with blood on it, but smiling, looking at you as if you were worth His own death. That's what His face looks like. So you want to turn to the Lord? If you do, then it'll show up in the activity of your life. Remember that psalmist says, "Seek His face always." Really simplifies our life if you let it. Always. Seek His face. If you say yes and that desire is there and you want to know Him, man, you will be in your Bible on your own, reading about Christ, getting to know Him. You will be engaged. You'll be seeking spiritual guides and getting in relationship with them, looking for counsel and wisdom and learning. You'll be engaged with peers who also want to know Christ. If you want to know Christ, if that's your desire, you will make time. You will spend time, lots of time, alone with God, asking Him to show you His face. Oh, it won't be easy. And a lot of you have tried it and gone, I've tried that, that doesn't work for me, or I'm not like that. Well, you need to become like that, like Jesus, and get to know God. G.K. Chesterton said that the Christian ideal has not been tried and found wanting. It has been found difficult and then left untried. Who'll try it? Do you want it? I do. At least I want to want it. This is a community of people that is longing for the face of God. We really have faith that it's the solution to a lot of our issues, a lot of our problems, forgiveness, healing, life to the full. If you need Christ in any way, I know you need the face of God. Please feel free to respond. Let's respond in song. Let's stand and praise this grace, God.